Thank you, Paul. Let's just commit our time, please, to the Lord. In a word of opening prayer, our Father, we thank Thee this evening again for the gathering together under the gospel banner tonight. We ask, O God, You'd be pleased to be with us, give us help. And Lord God, we pray tonight that glory and honour will be brought to Thy name. Hear and answer prayer. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. 325 is our opening hymn this evening, 325. Words will also be on the screen. I was a sinner, but now I am free. His wondrous grace has rescued me. Once I was blind, but now I see. A brand from the burning, He rescued me. We'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Let's commit our time again to the Lord, please, in prayer, and seek the Lord's face in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for each one in this meeting tonight who can say, a brand from the burning, He rescued me. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for each one in this meeting who saved. Rejoice, O God, for that moment when You took us, Lord, out of the danger of our sin, Lord, out of all the darkness, Lord, of sin that we were involved in. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that You saved us, You redeemed us. Lord, by Thy matchless grace, You brought us to Thy Son. And our Father, we pray that even this evening, Lord, that what You've done for us, Lord, You'll do for others. We thank Thee, O God, tonight that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. And O God, we pray, reveal that power amongst us tonight, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for that outpouring of God, the Holy Spirit. We ask, O God, tonight for that demonstrating of the power of God in salvation tonight, we pray. Lord, speak into this meeting, we ask. Thank the Lord for each one gathered here. And O God, we cry unto Thee for, Lord, a very real sense of Thy presence. Pour Your Spirit upon us just now. Give us help, Lord, in every part, in every detail of this meeting. Help us as we would sing the praises of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to lift our hearts, Lord, to praise Thy great name. Thou art worthy of all of our praise. Therefore, O God, accept even the sacrifice of our lips and our hearts tonight. Bless Jonathan as he would come, minister to us in song, be with him. We thank Thee, O God, for him. We thank Thee, Lord, for all that You've done for him and continue to be with him. And Lord, help him even even tonight, as he would sing of his Savior. Thank the Lord for him and others, Lord, who are using the talents, Lord, that you've given to them in the furtherance of the gospel. And so encourage thy dear child tonight, we pray. Bless us around the word of God. Lord, we pray that thy word will be that lamp and that light. And O God, we pray that tonight the searchlight of Scripture will shine unto all of our hearts. Lord, shine into darkened hearts tonight, we pray. Shine into hearts, Lord, that are far from thee, away from God. O God, do something new tonight, we pray. Heavenly Father, we cry unto thee for that breath of God, the Holy Spirit, for that move of God. Lord, we pray for revival power to be our experience. O God, we pray that you'll come and work in the hearts of each one of thy people. Lord, come, O God, we ask of thee. Lord, may we see God at work. May we see the hand of God, may it bear. Bless the preaching of the word of God across our city tonight. Lord, for all who are faithful to the word of God, encourage them. Lord, for those tonight who are standing, Lord, for the truths of the scriptures of truth. Lord, we pray that signs will follow the preaching, the going forth of the gospel of Christ. Bless across our province this evening. We pray, Lord, for a move of God, the Holy Spirit. O God, we pray, come and bring this land back to thyself, we pray. Bring us to our knees in repentance. And Lord, bring us to that place where we ought to be, where we need to be with thee. And so, Lord, we look to thee. Bless us tonight in this gospel meeting, we pray. May everything be to the glory, to the honor of thy great name. Remember all who have gathered tonight. We thank the Lord for each one. We pray, Lord, be pleased to be with us this evening. And Lord, for those that cannot gather with us, we think tonight of our elderly, Lord, those who were faithful in years gone by, and yet, Lord, now because of the advancing years, Lord, no longer able to join with us. Be with them tonight, we pray. In their homes, Lord, those in nursing care tonight, just draw near. Lord, not a mindful as well of those in hospital this evening. Draw near, Lord, to Richard again tonight. Draw near to Violet. And O God, we pray that each of them and their families will know the grace of God being sufficient at this time. O God, we pray you'll perfect that which concerns them. Pray, Lord, tonight for those who've wandered. Pray, Lord, tonight for those who have grown cold. Pray tonight for those who've got away from the things of God. O God, we pray that you'll draw them back to thyself. Heavenly Father, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, O God, we pray, come, O Lord, we ask of thee, and bring the prodigals back to the Father's house. And Lord, that even this night, Lord, that we'll hear of the wanderer being restored. Oh, Lord, answer prayer. Remember this community. Remember this area. We cry unto thee for that move of God, the Holy Spirit. Breathe upon us tonight, we pray. Lord, and to Ballyhackamore, send thy Spirit, we pray. Send convicting power. And Lord, may sinners be converted. So hear and answer prayer. Continue your presence with us this evening, we pray. And Lord, as we go through this meeting, may our Savior's name be lifted on high. Hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're always delighted to welcome Jonathan back to Sandown. It's always a pleasure to have him. We always enjoy his ministry. Jonathan, you're very welcome, as you always are. I'm going to ask you to come and sing for us. The Lord bless you.
Trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. That the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on Him there, and Calvary covers it all. The stripes that He bore and the thorns that He wore told His mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed in shame as I called on His name, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on Him there, and Calvary covers it all. How matchless the grace, when I looked in the face of this Jesus, my crucified Lord. My redemption complete, I then bowed at His feet, and Calvary covers it all. covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on Him there, and Calvary covers it all. How blessed the thought that my soul by Him bought shall be His in His glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on Him there, and Calvary covers it all.
Jonathan, thank you very much for your help tonight in the meeting. Again, always blessed by your ministry. Pray the Lord bless you, even as you've been a blessing to us. We'll hear from you in just a little moment's time. Can I ask you, please, to take the Word of God tonight? We'll have our scripture reading at this stage, and we'll read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Again, please, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Passage of scripture that we want to center our thoughts upon tonight. It's just found in three verses. It's short. That doesn't mean the sermon is going to be short. But we're going to read from verse 1 again of this chapter, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. This is God's lost and found department. We're looking at the lost sheep last week, coming tonight to look at the lost silver. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse number 1, then drew near unto Him, that is Christ, all the publicans and sinners, for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts. Let me welcome you tonight. It's good to see you in the Lord's house this Lord's Day evening, and we welcome you richly and warmly in the Saviour's great name. Also to those who are watching online as well tonight, we welcome you as well. Can I ask all those who are involved in our children's work and youth work, those who drive the buses and Sunday school teachers, camp workers, if you could just wait behind for a moment after the meeting tonight. It will be very, very short. And so if you could do that, please, that would be certainly appreciated. Tuesday, our Explorers Club at 6:30. And then on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, that's the commencement of our special month of meetings with the Reverend Roger Higginson, looking at revival and revivalists. This Tuesday night, he's commencing by looking at Duncan Campbell and the Hebridean, the Lewis Revival. And so I trust that you'll plan to be here. Join with us for these special meetings. And why not invite someone along as well on Tuesday night? But as you come, prepare your heart. Have your heart ready to hear what God has done in the past, but also have your heart ready for what God will do in the future. And as we hear of how God used individuals in the past, may the Lord be pleased to use us in the present. So we're looking forward to this series of meetings every Tuesday night in the month of February. The Reverend Higginson will be here, God willing, to speak to us. Then on Friday night, Adam will be speaking at Youth Fellowship at 8 o'clock here in the church. Next Lord's Day, 10:15, our Sunday School and Bible class. Then we have our morning worship at 11:30, Sunday School in Redburn at 2:30. And then next Sunday night, our family and friends gospel service, continuing on the theme of the children of the manse, and our brother Joel Brown will be along to testify next Sunday night, and also our brother Nathan Crozier will be here to sing. So again, these are opportunities for you to invite people in. The history of the Church of Jesus Christ teaches us that those who come to church come mostly by being invited by a friend or a neighbour. And so you seek to be busy and invite people along to those services. Remember especially that family service next Sunday night. There'll be supper afterwards as well. Do you remember those who are unwell? I remember a brother Richard. I remember also a sister Violet Rogers in hospital at this time. Also ask you to remember Jim Armstrong. Jim's going in to hospital tomorrow for a procedure. Also, at our presbytery meeting on Friday night, the Reverend Paul Foster received and accepted a call to be the minister of the church in Mourne in Kilkeel. And also, our brother Mr. Jonathan Storey received and accepted a call to be the new minister of the church in Mount Merion here in East Belfast. So please do remember these men and their families as they take up the work of God in these new charges. Also, there is a special weekend of missionary meetings organised by our mission board. This is the 50th anniversary of our mission board, and the special mission vision conference meetings are being held in our Lisburn church from Wednesday the 6th of March through to Saturday the 9th of March. Different speakers each night at 8 o'clock, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening. So please do remember those meetings and plan to be there if you can. The offering boxes are available there as you leave, and please do avail yourself of those. As always, we announce these matters subject to the will of the Lord. Let's sing another hymn at this stage, the hymn number 611. 611, My Heart Can Sing. When I pause to remember, a heartache here is but a stepping stone. 611 will stand as we sing this hymn again, please. ask Jonathan to come again and sing for us, please. Thank you, Lord bless you.
Have you any room for Jesus, He who bore your load of sin? As He knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let Him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, His word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid Him enter while you may. Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that He can enter, in your heart for which He died. Room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now, His word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid Him enter while you may. Room and time now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart be cold and silent, and thy Savior's pleading cease. Room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now, His word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid Him enter while you may.
Jonathan, thank you again this evening for being with us and for your help in this meeting. Pray the Lord will bless your ministry, even as it's been again a blessing to our hearts, and that someone tonight would open their heart to the Saviour. We're turning back to Luke's Gospel chapter 15, please, tonight. Luke's Gospel chapter 15. And we're centering our thoughts upon the words that we find from verse 8 through to 10. Luke's Gospel chapter 15. I want to thank this evening the subject of the lost silver as we continue our studies through this chapter. Luke's Gospel chapter 15, with God's word opened, let's seek His face in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee this evening for the messages and song that have been brought to us. We thank Thee, Lord, for the blessing that's been to our hearts. And, O God, we pray You'll bless Jonathan as he continues to seek to serve Thee. Pray, Lord, You'll continue to be with him, give him help and lead him and guide him, O God, in future days. And, O God, we pray now that as we come to Thy word, Lord, as we consider the scriptures of truth, we pray, Lord, for that help, for that understanding. Lord, for the Spirit of God to open the Word of God to our hearts. We acknowledge, O Lord, that of ourselves we cannot understand aright. Therefore, O God, tonight, Spirit of God, our teacher be, showing the things of God to me. Come and reveal Thyself to us, we pray. Especially, Lord, to the unsaved. Come and speak into hearts tonight, we pray. Lord, that some lost soul this evening may find the Saviour. Hear and answer prayer. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Tesco, one of course of the leading supermarkets, has that very catchy and yet true slogan that every little helps. And for the past few decades now, they have used that slogan in all of their advertising material, and they especially promoted it at the time of the launch of their club card reward scheme. And that slogan, "Every Little Helps," is like something that your granny would have said to you when you were younger. That generation, of course, who knew the value of everything and how important little things were, even making an impact, a big impact on other things. Placing emphasis on the little things. And it is that emphasis again on little things that we see again in the second part of this parable that we started looking at last week. This evening we look at the lost silver, the lost coin, and see how important it was, the little things are, the single things in the sight of Christ. In this instance, from verse 8 through to 10, it was a coin that was lost. But rather than simply ignoring that little thing that was lost, that seemingly insignificant thing that was lost, there was this frantic searching and looking for this lost silver until it was found. Now remember again the context, as we pointed out last week, of this parable. It's got three different parts, got three different aspects to it. One parable with three different parts to it. And it was spoken by the Saviour in reply, in answer to the scribes and the Pharisees who had accused Christ of lowering himself and bringing himself down to associate himself with what they viewed to be the lower, the baser elements of society, those that they termed sinners. Of course, little did they realize that they were sinners as well. But the Savior uses this parable and brings this parable and the three different parts to this parable to show how that in a very practical way and by use of a word picture, that the little things, the individual things, are important in the eyes of God and in the whole realm of salvation. So as we consider this part of the parable tonight, I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the setting of it. The setting of it. You see, unlike the previous part of this parable, where the setting was a mountain scene, the setting here in verses 8 through to 10 is a house. Verse 8, "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, doth not light a candle and sweep the house?" So the setting here is just an ordinary house. But it speaks of a place of comfort. It speaks of a place of security. The sheep was lost, as we noticed last week, away on the wild mountains, out in the open, away from care and away from shelter. But here is this coin that was lost in a place where it should have been safe. In a setting where all the conditions were favorable, in a place where all the conditions were acceptable. And like the lost sheep, this lost silver is marked out by that one distinguishing aspect: it was lost. Therefore, the setting, the context of this section of this parable is very important, because this lost coin, this one piece of silver, was in a place where it was originally safe. In a place where the conditions dictated that it should not have been lost. You know how all that speaks to us as we think about it, of the awful setting of man's first fall into sin. Because away back in the Garden of Eden, when God created man, made man in that state of perfect, of absolute perfection, placed him in a place of absolute perfection and beauty there in Eden. In Genesis 1, verse 26, 27, we read, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then we read in chapter 2 that he placed them in that beautiful garden. Having created man in a state of absolute perfection and holiness to God, he then placed man in a place of absolute beauty and perfection as well. Because you see, whenever God created man, God created man with holiness, positive, absolute holiness to God. Adam wasn't created with some potential for evil. He had a free will, yes, we know that, we acknowledge that, but that of itself wasn't evil, although he used it to evil ends. But God created Adam, created man, in a state of absolute perfection and placed him in a place of absolute perfection. Eden itself, it means pleasure, means a delight. Eden, we know, we read of in Genesis 2, was pleasing to the eye. It was a place of close communion, a place of close fellowship with God. It was a place where everything that Adam needed was provided. It was a place of safety. Everything, you see, was in Adam's favor. And yet here's the tragedy of it all. In that place, created in that condition, he chose to fall into sin by breaking the law of God, by eating the forbidden fruit, in a place where he could have been eternally safe, in a place where he could have been eternally blessed. He fell. He was lost as a result of that fall. He fell from that place of holiness. Lost then in a place of sinfulness. Then you know that he was banished from the garden. Banished away from the presence of God. And how that we, as the sons of Adam's race, have all been born in that fallen condition. You see, whenever you think about our first parents, whenever you think of the first sin, and you consider the setting of it, the setting of it makes the travesty of it all the worse. And everything was going in Adam's favor. Everything was for Adam. And yet he chose to break God's law, fall into sin. And in that situation, he was lost. Just as in this house here, in Luke's Gospel chapter 15, everything was in favor of this coin. The setting was perfect. The setting was pleasant. And yet it was lost. You see, tonight, whenever we consider what sin really is, we see just how awful a thing it is in the eyes of a holy God. Sin is a breaking of God's law. Sin is a denying of all that God did for the sinner. Sin is a rejection of all that God provided. And perhaps tonight in this meeting, that's exactly the situation and the state that you find yourself in. God has provided for you everything. God has provided you food for clothes. God has provided you health and strength. God has provided you everything. And yet the travesty of all of God's common grace and providential providing to you is that you reject God. You turn your back on God. And you tonight are lost. Just as this coin was lost in that place where it should have been safe, you're lost. You bring that into the church context tonight. Here you are, in a place where the gospel is preached, in a place where you hear the word of God, in a place where you're confronted with all the realities of the scriptures, where you're not out in the world tonight. You're not in the pleasures of this world tonight. You're in the church, but even in this place tonight, you are still lost. And you are guilty of the highest treason before God. But what happened as a result of that fall of the sinner be lost? See it here in this coin that was lost. Verse 8 again, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one. If she lose one. That coin that now was lost, that silver that was now lost, was worthless. It could do nothing. It was useless. That coin couldn't buy anything for that lady. That coin couldn't put food on her table. That coin couldn't pay her taxes. That coin couldn't now finance her family or her household. It was useless. And you see, that's the reality that sin brings into the life. Sin renders the sinner useless, worthless. Sin brings the sinner down. Sin creates that negative value. Because you see tonight, the reality is, if you're in this meeting without Jesus Christ, in your sin, in your lost condition, all you are right now is kindle fit for the flames of hell. This coin, when it became lost, became useless. That coin, whenever it became lost as well, what did it do? It became unclean. It fell into the dirt and the dust of the ground. As we'll see in a moment, the lady had to sweep the house. You see, that coin now in its lost condition was dirty, it was polluted. And so it is with sin. Sin pollutes the sinner. Sin defiles the life. In fact, sin destroys the life. Sin doesn't bring any eternal benefits to your soul. Your rejection of God tonight is of no eternal value to you. Your sin destroys you. Sin defiles you, and ultimately, if sin is not repented of, that sin will damn your soul in hell. If she lose one piece, there in that place, those conditions were favorable in that house, the silver was lost. I wonder tonight, am I speaking to you, and as far as you're concerned, the conditions of your life, they're all favorable. Brought up in a good home, brought up in a Christian home, brought up in a place where you're loved and sought and trained in the things of God. You have other people who tell you about the need of salvation. All these things are favorable, and yet you reject it. You deny it. You're still lost, even though all the conditions are in your favor tonight. O God, may have mercy upon your soul and open your heart to see just your lost condition, that spiritually tonight you're lost. We see the setting. But secondly, I want us to notice now the strategy. The strategy. So this one piece of silver is lost, so what happens? There's a strategy here. There's a plan put in place in order to bring that coin, to find that coin that was lost. You see, first of all, there is the illumination. Verse 8. Doth not light a candle. And of course, in those days, Bible times, there was no electric lighting, just the natural lighting. And the house could quite possibly have been dark. It could have been in the evening time. But the first aspect of this strategy is the illumination, the enlightening, in order to find this coin. And usually we think about that strategy, what instructions there are for us there in the realm of salvation as to how a sinner is sought and found. That light, that illumination, it speaks first of all of the Word of God. God's Word is the revealed truth of God. It reveals itself, as you know, as a light and as a lamp. It is the revealed mind of God. Through the Word of God, He reveals to us that we're sinners. Scriptures full of teaching about the sinfulness of man. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Your sins have separated between you and your God. How do I know I'm a sinner? How do you know you're a sinner? Not because I say so, not because a preacher says so, not because somebody else says so, but because the Word of God says so. The infallible mind of the infinite God tells me. That's the illumination. And if I can't sidetrack for a moment, that's why the Word of God must be central and pivotal in all that we do. Gimmicks will never save a soul. We stray from the Word of God and the centrality of the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God in all of our services, in all of our outreach. Then we are setting aside the divine illumination that God has provided. We leave off the Word of God, then we stray into our own thoughts. We leave off the Word of God, then we become the masters of our own imaginations. We invent our own theories. We come up with our own theology. We come up with our own strategy. But it's the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, that shows us that we're sinners. But it's also the illumination of the Word of God that shows us our Savior. It is the Word of God that shows us that in that place of sinfulness and hopefulness, there is hope. Hope that's found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this illumination here speaks of the Word of God. But I would suggest to you as well that this illumination here, this lighting of the candle in verse 8, in order to find and to restore, to return that which is lost, speaks not only of the Word of God, but it speaks also of the Spirit of God. Because you see, it is by the Spirit of God that a sinner is awakened to see their need of Christ. It is by the Spirit of God that a sinner is sought and found and regenerated. It is by the Spirit of God and the application of the work of God's Son there on the cross that brings the sinner to that place of faith and repentance. John 16 and verse 8, speaking of the Spirit of God, says, when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. You see, it is this, yes, the Word of God that illuminates, but the Spirit of God as well has a part to play. To open the heart of the sinner. And as the light would lead the woman to recover the lost coin, so the Holy Spirit, I pray tonight, would open your heart, would lead you to see your sin and bring you to see your Savior, who is Jesus Christ. That you would be brought tonight by irresistible grace to the place called Calvary. And even as Jonathan was singing tonight, to realize tonight, Calvary covers it all. How do we know that? By the illumination of the Word of God. And by the illumination of the Spirit of God. How do I know you can be saved tonight? How do I know that you can be redeemed and rescued from that lost situation in which you are? It is by the illuminating power of God the Holy Spirit. This strategy, there was illumination. But notice as well something more in this strategy. Not only was there illumination, but then there was purification. Look at verse 8. Sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. You see, there's the practical application. There's the necessary work of the lost sinner in order for them to be redeemed. What do they need? They need their lives to be purified. They need their sins to be washed and cleansed. The purifying of the sinful heart and life. That again is the sovereign work of the Spirit of God. As he takes the blood of Christ, that cleansing agent, that washing agent, by faith applies it to the heart of the sinner whose heart has been illuminated and awakened to see their need of Christ. Applies the blood of Jesus Christ and purifies, cleanses and washes the sinner clean. Now, this woman was diligent. And she swept the house to clean it, to remove all the debris and all the dirt. Sinner, tonight you need all the debris and all the dirt removed from your life. Moral reformation won't do it. Trying your best won't do it. Only the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary can make your dirty heart clean. Have you ever been to that place of cleansing? Have you ever been to that place where your heart can be made clean? Have you ever been to the cross tonight? Because it's at the cross. It's at the place called Calvary where your heart, your life will be cleansed and purified. Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing. But the blood of Jesus. What can purify your heart, make you clean tonight? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so, there is this strategy. It involves the illumination. And it involves the purification. But before I leave this point, I want to consider something else. I want us to consider now the valuation. As we've said, that lost piece of silver, in the state in which it was in, was useless. But you'd see to that woman, it was something of value. And she made this valuation, this silver, this one piece, is worth finding. You see, tonight, in the gospel, there's a value upon your life. There's a value upon your soul. Triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit placed such a value, even on the lost sinner in their lost condition, that they sent the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, who became the man, Christ Jesus, to go to the cross, to die, to save you. Why? because of the value of your soul. There's a value placed on your soul tonight. That soul of infinite worth and infinite price. Oh, the devil is tugging for it. The devil wants to hold on to your soul tonight. The devil doesn't want you to be saved. He knows the value of your soul. The question is asked in Scripture, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, the Lord tonight values the soul of the lost sinner in their sin far greater than the value and the riches of this entire world. Oh, sinner tonight, see how much you are in the sight of God. He sent his Son to save your soul. He sent his Son from the heights of glory to the depths of this world. Why? Because he placed such a value on your soul. So this strategy here, there's the illumination, there's the purification, there's the valuation. So there's the setting here in this place of safety, in this place where all the conditions were favorable, yet the silver was lost. Then the strategy, in order to find that lost silver, there was the illuminating, the enlightening, there was the cleaning, there was the purifying, there was the valuing. But finally, tonight, not only do we see the setting, not only do we see the strategy, but finally tonight there is the song. Look at verse 9. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. There's the song. She hath found it. That coin that was lost has now been found. Just as we noticed last week when the lost sheep was found and brought in from the mountains. It was joy. Well, there's a song now. She wasn't singing whenever she was going through the house with that candle and with that brush. There was sadness, there was sorrow, but now they're singing. And now she wants everyone to join in with her. She calls her friends and she calls her neighbors. That which was lost has now been found. You see, tonight there is joy. There is joy when a lost sinner comes to Jesus Christ. There's joy on earth. We see that in verse 9. Calleth her friends, her neighbors together. Rejoice. Rejoice with me. She's singing. She's happy. There's joy on earth. But notice as we close, there's also joy in heaven. Verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You see, whenever a sinner lost in their sin is found, redeemed, regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God and brought into the family of God, there's rejoicing in the courts of heaven. When a sinner is saved, there's joy in heaven. Child of God, that moment that you were saved, there was a joy and there was a rejoicing in heaven. As we sang, I think it was Mr. Cray used to always sing it. It didn't make the headlines down here. but it caused rejoicing in heaven the day I got saved. And there is joy in the presence of the angels of God in the courts of heaven when a sinner is saved. Now, I have to be honest and say, as much as I've tried to think about this and tried to work all this out, I don't know how it all works out. But I know this, the Bible tells me, and I believe it, that whenever a lost soul is brought to Jesus Christ, there's singing, there's rejoicing in heaven. Perhaps the key to understanding this is found in the words of verse 10. Notice the construction. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Joy in the presence of the angels. Who are the angels in the presence of? They're in the presence of God. And in His presence there is joy. And He rejoices in the salvation of the sinner. Do you see how important salvation is in the eyes of God? And as one sinner after another repents, as one sinner after another is brought to Christ in salvation, there is joy. He rejoices. He places the highest, greatest value on the one lost soul brought home. And when a sinner comes in repentance to God through Christ, there's joy in the heart of the sovereign God. Verse 10, just notice something that sort of it says, likewise I say unto you, and he's referring back to the Pharisees and the scribes. These are the proud boys. These are the proud ones, think they're not lost. Oh, they're like the other nine pieces. They're all right. But in reality, they're lost just as all are lost. You see, every time a saved sinner or a sinner is saved, why does God rejoice? I'll tell you why He rejoices. Because the work of His Son on the cross is validated and vindicated. The work of His Son in coming into this world to save the lost is validated every time. The soul is saved. Oh, there's so many religions, so many faiths in this world, but there is none like unto the God of heaven, God who sent His Son to this world, to the cross of Calvary, to die for us. Sinner, you're lost tonight. But yet there's a Savior who seeks, one who searches, and one who's able to save your soul, one who's able to redeem you tonight. And tonight you can experience the joy of sins forgiven by coming to Christ. I wonder tonight, will there be rejoicing in heaven over your salvation tonight? Will there be joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner? This sinner, Sandown Road tonight, come on, in faith and repentance to Jesus Christ. That which was lost now is found. May it be so tonight. May it be the case that tonight, that from this church, you're sent a signal to the presence of the angels of God. A sinner has come home, and there's rejoicing tonight. May it be so for His name's sake, and for